Ladies and gentlemen, the Epic Film Guys Podcast. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this episode of the Epic Film Guys Podcast for Thursday, December the 1st, 2016. I am Epic Film Guy Nick.
And I'm Justin. I'm also an Epic Film Guy. And we're back. We're totally back, man.
I
feel like it's been too long. I mean, we recorded our Batman commentary a week and 2 days ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was a like long that. Time ago. Yeah, it's... By the time this episode drops, I mean, we dropped that episode as a special on a Monday because I powerhoused my way through the edit, and I really, really hope that everybody enjoyed the hell out of that episode. Got a lot of great feedback on it from a lot of people who really, really enjoyed it. So our favorite film of all time for this podcast, I think we did it really, really decent justice. I really, really do. And it sounded fantastic from what I could hear and from what everybody had told me. So Scott was trying to sync it up to the track, but he was having trouble. And his kid
to watch the film while he was listening to it. Yeah.
Then his kid, he got like 2/3 of the way through it, I think, and his kid interrupted him. But we also have to take the opportunity. It's now belated, unfortunately, since it was yesterday as of recording day. But happy belated birthday to Mr. Justin Esquivel, our very own Epic Film Guy, Justin.
Gracias, Ali. No, yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm 33 years young and... Yeah, I don't feel really any older. I mean, I'm just lying to myself. But not really. I mean, yeah, feels great. Feels good. I lounged around the house. I ate Five Guys, and I watched The Hateful Eight on Blu-ray. So one of the many Black Friday Blu-ray pickups that I did over the holiday this last weekend. But yeah, so
how'd that look on that 4K?
Surprisingly, it's a little bit weird, man. I thought it was going to look a lot more brilliant, but the problem is, Nick, you and I both had the opportunity to see it in 70 millimeter film. Mm-hmm. So after seeing it like that and remembering how great it looked, I think anything other than seeing it in that format is kind of like a disservice to it. It still looked really good, but you know, the majority of the film takes place within that cabin. So all of the exterior shots that were shot in actual location in the wilderness with the mountainside looked brilliant. So overall, great transfer. And it was great revisiting that. If you ever forgot how much I enjoyed it, I was literally laughing my ass off.
Now, it wasn't the roadshow version on Blu-ray, right? It's just the normal theatrical print that they did that's, what, like 15 minutes shorter or whatever?
That is correct, yeah.
Lame. Man, way to bring the fucking show to a halt, Tarantino, you dick. Oh my God, Justin, it's December. It's officially the end of the year. Last year at this time, if you'll recall, and I'm going to be posting these links all throughout the month, but we went on a Star Wars bonanza. We had 4 episodes that were dedicated almost entirely to Star Wars last year during the month of December. And that's crazy. That's crazy, but we're not going to do that again this year. We both had an interesting experience trying to purchase tickets for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, man, it was pretty crazy. I mean, last year was nuts. I'm pretty sure I talked about it last year. I don't really listen to our episodes, so I can't go back and tell you, hey, I talked about it. But last year was insane because I was trying to get tickets the second they went on sale on Alamo Drafthouse's website, and their site crashed. So last year for The Force Awakens, I said, fuck this. I'm not going to wait any longer. I was so excited. I was so dead set on getting those tickets that I just got in the car and I drove to Alamo Drafthouse. I waited in line and I got tickets. Well, last night I was under the impression, Nick, that for some reason I thought maybe they fixed whatever problem they had last year. They knew that their site crashed. It caused a lot of problem and a huge fan uproar on social media. Well, last night I was about to go to bed. It was 11:30. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh wait, Star Wars tickets. I got to stay up. So I'm sitting there on my computer waiting for 12:01 to hit on Alamo Drafthouse's website. And 12:01 hits, and I click the 7 p.m. showing for opening night Thursday showing, 2D, and what does it tell me, dude? What does it tell me? I'm in line behind 2,546 other people? I was so mad. I mean, I'm not trying to be hardcore fanboy here and feel that I'm entitled before everybody else, but it made absolutely no sense to me why I click on that and I have to wait for 2,000 and something other people to get their tickets. And you had the same experience going over on Fandango, right? Because that's what the same thing that happened even when I went to Fandango.
I had exactly the same experience. Yeah. I was over there, and I had actually completely forgotten that they went on sale. And then at about 12:05, I got an email from Fandango that was like, Rogue One tickets are now on sale. And I was like, well, I'm buying tickets for Rogue One. And I immediately jump on Fandango's website, and I select my theater, and it immediately puts me in a queue, and it says, your estimated wait time is 50 minutes. And I'm like, what?
Like, 50 is nuts. That's insane.
I could not
dude.
Believe it. Like, I'm like, you cannot tell me that there are this many people trying to get into the AMC Vestal and purchase tickets for this goddamn movie. And by the time that the wait timer finally expired, and it wasn't 50 minutes, it actually went a lot quicker, because I think what happened is a lot of people were like, fuck this, and jumped out of line.
Of course, yeah.
I stayed right in line. I was like, no, I'm not losing my place because I want these damn tickets. By the time I got in, and you know me, Justin, I always like to buy tickets dead center, row C. That's where I sit for every single film. And everything was eaten up. The only thing you could pick was on the ends of the main rows and then those little wings that they have at AMC. And I hate sitting on the wings. I remember we saw Dumb and Dumber 2 sitting in the wings, and I don't think we really cared too much about that. But this was a film I was like, if I don't get at least decent-ish seats, I'm not buying tickets. But I did get two seats at the end of the main row D, and then one seat in front of it at the end of row C. So my son will just have to sit in front of us when we watch the movie. But I did get my opening night tickets, 7 o'clock showing 2D. So,
well, lucky you, man. I mean, I did not decide to suffer through 3D just to get it at my Alamo Drafthouse. Sorry, Alamo, I love you guys. You're my favorite theater. But you know what, Nick? I had to actually suffer for the fact that I'm going to have to go see it in a different theater. I'm going to have to see it at the AMC at Tyson's Corner in McLean, Virginia. And I'm going to be seeing it with Dolby Atmos, which is the amazing new surround sound system that's very expensive, mind you. More than Airbus, Nick. These tickets were $19.
Jesus.
But I wanted to see it in something that was special. All the IMAXs were 3D, so I didn't want to, again, suffer through 3D, and I know my wife hates 3D. So I'm like, fuck it, you know what, I'll do something cool, and if I like it a lot, I'll go do that Airbus on that giant 25-story, laser-projected 4K, 8K, whatever the hell it is, the Airbus, you know, just trying to talk it up a little bit more. If I love it, I'll see it again at the Airbus. But you know what? We both have opening night tickets for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. As much as we hate that title, Nick, I'm really hoping that we'll love the film. I'm so excited.
We got tickets. I'm really, really starting to ramp up, and especially I was regaling you with the story of how I was trying to come up with a Rogue One-inspired intro for the month of December, and I could not find a good rip of the trailer music that didn't boom the volume in and out all sorts of crazy places because nothing was equalized. So I said screw it, and we're gonna probably throw the Force Awakens opening on this episode. But you know, I'm
as much as you love that movie.
You know how much I love it. But I was watching, speaking of the Force Awakens, we're gonna get into this later in Epic Previews, but man, Adam Driver looks goofy as a motherfucker in that Silence trailer. Oh my god, I could not get over him in like that first initial shot where you see him in the Silence trailer. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Hey man, the dude lost a whole shit ton of weight, man.
Yeah,
he lost a lot of weight.
He was scrawny as hell. We'll talk about that trailer a little bit later tonight.
Yeah, we will. Yeah,
in
definitely.
Epic Previews. But, you know, again, happy birthday, Justin. And we just had the Thanksgiving holiday. I, of course, got to cook. I have only ever cooked Thanksgiving dinner one other time in my life, and it's something that, you know me, I absolutely love to cook. It's one of my true, true passions in life is to just be in a kitchen creating things, and I don't really like to use recipes. Like, I'll base something on a recipe, and then I'll just do whatever the hell I want, you know, from the basis. And I made the entire dinner, with exception, Ada made some yams, because her and her parents like to eat yams. I'm not so much of a fan. But I made, you know, the stuffing homemade. I made the turkey, made mashed potatoes. I made four pies for dinner and made the gravy and everything. And the only thing that I had trouble with was the stuffing. I just put a little too much salt in it. But, man, it still tasted fantastic, even though you could only eat smaller portions of it because of the salt in it. But even still, everything turned out absolutely fantastic. I rubbed the turkey with this mixture of garlic and olive oil and fresh thyme, fresh rosemary, rubbed it all into the meat the night before, and then just roasted that bad boy. It was so moist. It was so tender. Just delicious. I outdo myself.
You're making me hungry, man. You're making me hungry. Yeah. The funny thing is, as good of a cook as you are, I think I've eaten maybe once your actual cooked food that you made, like chicken or something. Luckily for you, you got to have a good Thanksgiving that you cooked for. Unfortunately for me, though it was with great company, Danielle's parents came down and we spent a lot of good family time together. We ate out at this place that was supposed to be quote-unquote fine dining called Cotton and Rye, and it was absolutely horrendous. It was garbage. It sucked. I only wish that I could have gotten drunker than I did. I did have a couple Lost Rhino IPAs, and if there's a good beer. It is a good beer, but, you know, it was good being with family. But you know what? Talking about beers, speaking of beers, I think we need to get into that little segment we like to call What Are You Drinking?
I'm back!
Ooh.
You can rally! Yeah. Woo! Give me a beer!
I'm throwing it to you first, man. I'm throwing it right to you.
All
right.
Well, yay. I am more than happy to go first. I am drinking, Justin, and I won't bore you to death by reading the entire thing on the back of this bottle, but you're a stone drinker, so you know what they put on the back of some of their bottles, especially their Arrogant Bastard bottles. I, Justin, am drinking a bourbon barrel-aged Arrogant Bastard. This son of a bitch will knock you on your ass. Once you first get the first couple of sips and you get that kind of oaked bourbon flavor, all those spices in there, it can really fuck with your palate. But the bitterness of the hops in this and then the spices, the oakiness of that bourbon, they just marry together so perfectly. And it seriously feels like this beer is punching the back of my throat every time I take a sip of it. But it's fantastic. Absolutely love this. I can't believe I actually have not had this one before. I think I've had their Bourbon Barrel Aged Double Bastard, but not this one. So this is a fantastic beer. But what do you got guzzling down your gullet this evening?
Oh, you went pretty long there, longer than I thought you would.
I had to go for it.
I think you know, Nick. I think you know what I have in my hand. It's cold. It's crisp. It's 82 IBUs. And it's 8.7 alcohol by volume. I am drinking the Long Trail Brewing Company's Space Juice, which is an Imperial Double IPA. This beer, you and I had talked about this beer. I think it was, a couple days before I actually found it, that I had tagged you on Facebook, or I sent you a picture via text or something. And I didn't even know this beer existed. I know Long Trail Brewing is one of your favorite breweries. They have their Limbo IPA, which is one of your favorite beers. So it just sparked my interest. I love the label. It looked so neat. I was like, in tall cans, mind you. It just looked right up our alley. So I'm shopping with my wife, and we're at the organic food store that we shop at called Mom's, which they have a decent beer selection, but never would I have ever thought that they'd have the Space Juice there. Hmm. And they did. And they had one 4-pack left. And the guy that was over near the beer that worked there was like, oh, those have been going out like crazy, man. That's the last one we've got. Oh. So I felt special. It's good, but I don't want to disappoint you. It's not great. There's a reason why it's called Space Juice. Now it says right on the can, does not contain juice. There is a juice flavor there. It's got a great hop taste to it. It's very bitter, and it's got a great mouthfeel.
Mouthfeel?
Yeah, it's got a great mouthfeel, but there's something about that juice. It's a double IPA of the cosmic kind, as they call it. There's something about it, though. I can't wait for you to try.
Is it a lot of citrusy, or maybe a lot of like kind of tropical hops? Like
it is tropical. It's very, very tropical, but it tastes almost like this mango, pineapple, coconut water that I drink in the morning, which is very strong. It just tastes like it's kind of poured in with the beer. But it's still good. It's not horrible. I'm not complaining. It's decent, Caleb. I would drink it again.
I had the opportunity recently to have the Citrus Limbo IPA, and Limbo's my favorite beer, so I was really worried. I was like, oh, God, what did they do to this? You know, is it still going to taste the same, or is it still going to taste good? It's different. It's definitely different than normal Limbo, but it's just as fantastic. It's got a good citrusy punch up front, and then it finishes with, like, a clean malt feeling. So it finishes way different than the normal Limbo does, but it's still a really, really great beer. And I was
this
I took
one finishes,
my hat off to him.
Yeah. This one finishes with that juice flavor. And I think that's the whole point of the whole space juice because, dude, this beer is definitely strong. It's up there. It doesn't taste boozy, though, which is fantastic considering the content that's there. But the finish is the juice, literally. Like, the bitterness goes away and it just feels like you're drinking juice at the end. It's a little bit different. It's definitely unique. By no means is it bad. It's just a unique beer. It's different. But enough of beers. We are the Epic Film Guys. We have to talk about something at least somewhat movie-related. I mean, don't we?
Nah. We talked about a movie for like 2.5 hours last week. Can't we just quit and just, I don't know, talk about beer for the rest of the episode?
I did watch some movies. Neither of us, ladies and gentlemen, got the opportunity to see anything in the theaters this weekend.
Sadly.
Though last weekend, Loisos and I did get a chance to see Tom Ford's Nocturnal Animals, though I'm really chomping at the bit to talk about that movie. I really don't want to have Nick suffer through having to edit that thing because I really want to let it all out, man. I want to really just put it all on the table and let you bite into it because that movie, I can't say anything else about it, but Loisos and I saw it. And for us to discuss it in full, that means Nick would have to edit it, and that'd mean I'd have to keep mum about it, and it's not really fair. So we'll see when that'll come out. Hopefully a little bit prior or, you know, closer to its widespread release.
Very, very excited to see that film. I cannot wait to see that film. Huge fan of Tom Ford. And, of course, Michael Shannon's in it. And I am a huge fan of Michael Shannon.
I will tell you this much. I will tell you this much, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you this, Nick, and that's all I'll say. And I'll leave it at that. If Michael Shannon does not get nominated for a Best Supporting Actor for Nocturnal Animals, I will riot. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say. Yeah. He's fantastic in the fucking film.
Wait.
I love him. He's so great.
Absolutely clamoring to see it. And yeah, I had the opportunity to see a couple films on Blu-ray that, you know, the wife wanted to watch. She had the opportunity to see Bad Moms in the theater. It's funny because this is actually a film that Paul and Wayne had talked about recently because they were doing their top 10 last time and Wayne had seen it. And he said that it didn't really land for him in a lot of ways. And I pretty much agree with his review of it. The film takes that hyper helicopter parenting kind of style where, you know, you destroy your own life in favor of your child's. Like, you literally, if you're up in the morning and you are go doing 8,000 things for your kid, and then you pass out at the end of the day, you're constantly late to everything and whatnot. And as I'm watching that, that's just the parenting style that I really, really don't get. And I mean, you should, of course, do everything you can as a parent to take care of your child and to love and to be there for your child. But to, like, sacrifice your own, like, mental health and your own physical health and well-being, you know, and, you know, constantly being late. Like I said, it's just the whole philosophy at the beginning of the movie, like the kind of mom. It's Mila Kunis is, like, the main character in it. And, she's the whole character that she is in the film, like at the beginning of it, I just did not agree with. And then, of course, Catherine Hahn, who fucking steals the show, she's hilarious in it, you know, comes in and then, you know, she kind of makes her into a, quote, bad mom, you know, where, you know, then they completely do the 180 away from that, where they're going out partying all the time, being ridiculous, and all these comic hijinks ensue. And it's your standard run-of-the-mill comedy. It's got exactly the same plot beats that you would expect in a film like that, but I think the ensemble cast is really strong. Christina Applegate's also in it, and she's fantastic. She plays the antagonist in the film. And, you know, it's just, it's a really great film. Mila Kunis is serviceable, I guess, as the lead, but she's not really the centerpiece, so you don't really care about her. I also got the chance to see Finding Dory, which I'm not the audience for these films. I'm really not. And it had its really fun, touching, wonderful moments. Ed O'Neill is the octopus. I absolutely fucking loved. I love.
He was
Ed
great
O'Neill
in it. He was so great in that. Yeah.
Oh my
and
god.
I, and I talked. I talked about it. I remember after I saw it, but it was brief. I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked it. It was good, but it was no Finding Nemo, in my opinion. It wasn't anywhere near that caliber.
I
it
agree.
Was still good. It was
I don't
still
think
good,
it
though.
Was at all Finding Nemo. And like I said, I think it was a fun film, and I think kids will really get a kick out of it. But it's. I think it's just the critical brain in me. Like, I just couldn't shut it off as I'm watching the movie. I'm just like, this is literally just a swimming plot contrivance that, like, because she has short-term amnesia. Like, she has no short-term memory unless the plot requires her to. So I'm just like, oh God, it just, it bugged me the whole way through the movie. And I'm like, stop. Like, the whole way, I'm actively telling myself, I'm like, stop. Stop. You're, this is, stop judging it like that. You're not supposed to be looking at it like that. You gotta let that go. But I couldn't do it.
You do to an extent. Oh. You kind of have to. You do because
you know
in
how
reality,
I am though. I just these films are not. Yeah. Especially me. Like it really takes a really great animated film to kind of win me over. Not like Sausage Party. That was a completely different animal. But a film like this, like a Pixar film or whatever, it really has to work that much harder to get me to ignore its faults. And this one didn't do that. It had its great moments, but like I said, I loved Ed O'Neill as the octopus. That's where I'll leave it.
Good to hear. So that's it for our opening of the show. We do have some other stuff to get into.
Oh, we do.
But we're going to take a quick promo break, and then I believe, Nick, we're going to be back with Epic Previews.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned.
This is Paul.
And Wayne.
From the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast, and we're here today to tell you about this week's episode.
Yeah, we're going to do dark comedies. We're counting down the darkest of dark comedies. What's a dark comedy, man?
Dark comedy is a film with an edge. Films yes. that are, you're not really meant to laugh at.
It dares you to laugh. That's it the word. It dares you to laugh, because it's so nasty and dark, but it's still a comedy.
That's right. It's darker than Wayne's asshole.
So dark, motherfucker. Wait a minute. Will you call me a dark asshole heaven motherfucker? Fuck you, man.
You're brown.
Yeah, well, fucking brown, dark, black is different, man. Shit. Fuck. All right, screw it. Cue the explosion. And eat a dick pole.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan from the Netflix and Swill podcast. This week, we review the Netflix original show, Glitch, and a one-star movie of a very similar name. Also, we talk about the news of Dave Chappelle getting 3 Netflix-exclusive comedy specials. All that, and a little bit of relationship advice on this week's episode of Netflix and Swill. If that sounds right up your alley, check us out on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music.
And welcome back. And thank you for sticking with us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. We're not going to waste any time here. We're going to jump right into Epic Previews.
In the world of Endicott, New York and Herndon, Virginia, 2 Epic Film Guys dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call Epic Previews.
And this week, Justin, we've got 2 trailers to talk about, and I know you've got a huge load to get off of your chest, because this trailer actually landed somewhere around the time when we dropped that Batman commentary last week. So this trailer's been sitting on the tip of your tongue for like 2 weeks now. This is the new trailer, the full-length trailer for Kong Skull Island.
These are photos of an island in the South Pacific.
The place where myth and science meet. I see the red
moon rising. We use explosives to shake the earth, helping us to map the surface of the island.
You're dropping bombs.
Scientific instruments. I see trouble
on the way. Is that a monkey?
Magnificent.
You knew that thing was out here?
I'm sorry for your men, Colonel. But if you want to make their sacrifice worthwhile, get us home with proof. Monsters exist.
Whoa. Your friend there can put that down.
Yes, and Kong Skull Island, Nick, is basically the... It is a reboot. Okay, let's make it clear. It is a reboot.
See, I figured that this was just Peter Jackson's King Kong, but he just took a lot of steroids in the last 10 years.
It's Warner Brothers' way of basically getting Kong in the limelight again, creating a new Kong film so they could continue the franchise. It's been a long time since we've had a Kong film. And unlike the majority of cinephile elites out there, I love Peter Jackson's King Kong, just like I love the original, and just like I actually kind of like, to an extent, the 1976 remake. There's a lot about King Kong that I love, and there's elements of that character throughout all of those films. This film I was eagerly anticipating. We did talk about the teaser trailer on Epic Previews, I believe, months ago, Nick. And I eagerly awaited this teaser trailer, or this full trailer, I should say, the full trailer for the film. Which, by the way, I'm not sure if you know this or not, Warner Brothers is calling this the final trailer, according to their Facebook page.
Wow.
But funny
so this
enough,
is it? No more marketing until March.
I don't know. That's what it's called. If you go on their Facebook, it says Kong Skull Island final trailer. But,
all right.
The teaser painted a picture of the film that I really have always wanted to see. We're taking place on Skull Island. We're going to get the majority of the film, if not all the film, on the actual island, which is really exciting to think about. And this new trailer, Nick, the question I have to ask is, when was the last time you watched a trailer where you saw elements that you really loved, but also elements that you really hated just as equally? That's the problem I have with Kong Skull Island, Nick, is because it feels like it's totally off. It feels like half of the film wants to be something and the other half wants to be something else. We open this trailer with there's this element of fear and this threatening force that's in this on this island that they're going to witness. And then we see Kong, and we do see some beautiful shots of Kong, which are brilliant and they're mind-blowing and they're awesome. But at the same time, we have this what I would call interjected, shoehorned in humor that just does not seem to fit the tone of the rest of the trailer. Now, Nick, I'm not going to go off on a tangent here, not just yet at least. I'm going to throw it to you real quick for your initial thoughts, because I got to hear. I haven't even heard your thoughts about this trailer yet. What did you think of the trailer?
That is very, very true. And I watched this after it landed, and this is a trailer that I was hotly anticipating. So right after it landed at midnight, which was weird because it was supposed to release earlier in the day, and then Warner Brothers pushed it to the end of the day at midnight. And I remember you posted this up to the page, and I immediately scampered right over there and I popped it right on and I watched the trailer. And if you don't get half-mast just seeing the shots of Kong in this trailer, I don't know why you go to the movies, and I don't know like what you find entertaining, because Jesus Christ, does he look incredible. Like, I'll focus in on the stuff that I absolutely loved about this trailer, and that is it in spades. You get to see a whole bunch of other creatures, which I guess I'll let you talk about a little bit, but Kong is king, and my God, does he look beautiful in this trailer. You got more shots. You mentioned that fear. You mentioned that kind of the journeying into the unknown, and that feeling of just dread, and that feeling of just this larger-than-life beast who was living in this jungle and who rules, who is the king of Skull Island. And you get that from this Kong. You get that ferocity, that animalistic nature, and you also get some of those nice, quieter, more touching scenes where you get to see him do a little bit of emoting. Just absolutely fantastic. I love the effects work that they've done with Kong. I think it's absolutely fantastic. But I'm going to kick it right back over to you, because in terms of tonal shift in this trailer, Justin, there's one specific element that I know you're going to mention. It's John C. Reilly. Tell us why you hated it.
I'm going to state a quote from that trailer. Kong's a pretty good king, keeps to himself mostly, but you don't go into someone's house and start dropping bombs unless you're picking a fight. All right, so let's just deal with the elephant in the room. John C. Reilly just does not fit this fucking movie at all. Why is he in this movie? Everyone's talking about other war movies or other whatever, Apocalypse Now, or I don't even know, Platoon. People are mentioning these other war films where there's like this comedic character that's supposed to be in there. I'm not an expert on those films, so I can't say. But this just felt like, why are you like interjecting this in there? It's almost like, Nick, that this past year and a half, Warner Brothers has had so many problems with tone within their films, with Batman versus Superman, with Suicide Squad, that they're just interjecting as much comedy and humor into everything they can just to make sure it's a hit. Now, you know, I don't want Kong to be an unfun movie. I want it to be fun, and it seems like there is some fun to be had here. But, you know, the John C. Reilly character, obviously it seems as though has been on the island for some time. He knows what the land is like. He knows what these creatures are, at least how they behave. And he knows a lot about Kong because he's there when they get to the island and he's telling them about Kong. It's just, the tone just seems kind of too much slapstick, too much over-the-top comedy in your face. As far as the jokes, like at the end of the trailer, you know, we're all gonna die and all that, I'm like, you know, it can be fun without you shoehorning that in. I mean, the problem I have is I want Kong to feel threatening. They're on an island, Nick. It's kind of reminiscent of Monster Island to me, with all these different creatures. We're seeing a giant spider. You know, we're seeing these reptilian creatures. And we obviously know Kong's going to fight with some of these creatures, and it's going to look beautiful. But, you know, I want these characters, these new characters that we're just meeting for the first time, especially Captain James Conrad, played by Tom Hiddleston, and Weaver, played by Brie Larson, which I don't know if you noticed this or not, Nick. She's an Academy Award winning actress, but she has zero lines of dialogue in this entire trailer. You know, we've got, you know, John Goodman is Bill Randa, the gentleman that got these people
on this island.
And yeah, Samuel L. Jackson is Lieutenant Colonel Packard, who is obviously doubting this mission from the start. But the problem is all those characters seem to fit except for John C. Reilly. Everyone else seems to play their part perfectly. I really don't know, Nick. I feel like that Warner Brothers had a meeting. They sat down, all the suits at a table were like, oh, Batman, Superman. That was too dark. There wasn't any fun in it. People complained. The critics said it wasn't fun. It was too nihilistic. And so, you know what we need to do? We're going to interject, you know, tons of over the top humor and comedy into this thing. I don't know. What do you think, man? What do you think?
I want to play devil's advocate here, and I want to say that maybe it's possible, and if you watch the trailer again and kind of put this mindset, put it in the back of your head, that this may just be a symptom of how this trailer was cut together.
Especially
the music. There are very abrupt tonal shifts in this trailer. There are several of them. They'll go from these really foreboding scenes, these really majestic scenes of Kong, a lot of fear, a lot of tension, and then boom, way over the top humor. It's incredibly jarring, and it goes back and forth like that. So the trailer's not really very effective, but I will say, Justin, and we've seen this time and again, and you know what happens in Hollywood, where they will just start cutting and pasting shit into a trailer, trying to see what works, trying to see what they can push out there. So I will say that maybe in the context of those scenes in the film, like maybe those scenes are already lighter in tone. So John C. Reilly popping in and having his jokes and whatever doesn't seem so out of place. It's possible. Focus more on the greatness of Kong in this trailer, because let me tell you right now, as bad and as jarring as all the other elements of this trailer were, Kong being so effective in the shots that they showed completely obliterates all that for me. I literally, the only thing I can think about in that trailer when I think about it right now sitting here talking to you is Kong.
Like that massive shot at the end with the explosion. Oh, the beat in the chest. Yeah, that's well, him roaring.
Dude.
You say that. So I like that shot too, but the shot that immediately comes to my mind is the explosions and Kong shoving his face through the explosions.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's from that. It's brilliant. Believe me, I think it looks visually stunning. And this is coming from a new director. This guy is not very seasoned as far as big budget fare is concerned. Jordan Vaught Roberts here. He did The Kings of Summer and Single Dads. Nothing anywhere near the scope of a King Kong movie. I mean, but you know what? Visually, it looks stunning. It's definitely one of those I'm going to check out at that huge Airbus IMAX near me. Ooh. I'm excited for it. Believe me, I'm really excited, at least for the visual aspect of the film. But you know what? As long as it's fun and it's not a horrible film, I'm excited to see, you know, especially with, you know, Michael Dougherty from Trick or Treat fame and Krampus, which we'll be talking about on the podcast coming up here soon enough, just as a little tease there.
Spoilers.
But he's taken on Godzilla 2 in place of Gareth Edwards. So I'm excited to see where this is going as far as kaiju and giant monster movies are concerned. As long as Kong wins over the audiences with this, if John C. Reilly isn't outright horrible, I will still give this film credit. I'm hoping he doesn't. Actually, to tell you the truth, I told Loisos this. I hope he gets his ass killed before they leave the island. And I think a lot of these characters, Nick, if not all of them, are going to end up getting killed before they leave the island.
There's definitely some cannon fodder in there. You can tell.
But
you
overall,
can definitely tell.
I'm excited. You never know what's going to happen, but it is what it is. But Nick, there is another trailer that we have to talk about on the show tonight. And this is a film that you yourself have been eagerly anticipating for a long time. Why don't you tell us about it?
Very, very much. And this is the brand new film from Martin Scorsese. Finally, like a month before release, we finally get our first trailer for this film, of course, starring Liam Neeson, Andrew Garfield, and Adam Driver, who we talked about up at the top of the show. And the first thing that struck me in this trailer, and you had mentioned that he had lost a ton of weight for this role, and good Lord, is he a goofy looking fuck. Oh my God. He just, like, that first shot of him, like, man, you didn't really get to see a lot of it in The Force Awakens or anything, and I guess people who are a bigger fan of Girls, that HBO series that he's in, would be more aware of it, but, man, he's got some satellite dishes on the side of his head.
Well, yeah, I think they pinned him back, honestly. They did a lot of work on
him. He had that long hair in The Force Awakens, too, and his hair is much shorter in this film.
I gotta tell you this much. When we went and my daughter saw The Force Awakens, she loved it. And she liked Kylo Ren a lot. And then we went and took her to see Midnight Special. Okay. The film with Michael Shannon in it was the sci-fi thriller, the sleeper hit last year. I talked about it on the podcast a little bit. Adam Driver's in that. And Adam Driver looks like, well, Adam Driver, like he does in this. He's got his moles showing. Right. On this film, he's got some facial hair. He's very scrawny looking.
Yeah,
and
I think JJ prettied him up pretty good.
They definitely did. You know, they kept him clean shaven. They covered up a lot of those moles and they pinned his ears back. My daughter even said in that film, she goes, he looks a lot prettier and nicer in The Force Awakens. Well, hey, that just goes to show they're gonna make him look a certain way in each film. In this film, he's just looking how he looks. But I'm glad you noticed that, Nick. I mean, he did lose 20 pounds for this. I don't know why he needed to lose 20 pounds because he was already skinny as hell as it was. But make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, this is Martin Scorsese at his best. This is a passion project that he has been working on getting made, Nick, for over 20 years. 25 years, if I believe. He's been trying to get this film made forever, where in the 17th century, two Jesuit priests face violence and persecution when they travel to Japan to locate their mentor and propagate Christianity.
Our Lord said to them, "Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature."
Ferreira is lost to us. He denounced God in public and surrendered the faith.
That's not possible. Father Ferreira risked his life to spread our faith all over Japan.
It seems to me that our mission here is more urgent than ever. We must go find Father Ferreira.
This is in your hearts, then, both of you?
Yes.
Then I must trust God has put it down. The moment you set foot in that country, you step into high danger.
Going back to you, because this was one of your most anticipated, I got to get your initial thoughts on the trailer.
The trailer
outside of Adam Driver's ears.
Outside of Adam. Oh, this trailer looks absolutely fantastic. I mean, definitely Scorsese is just known for just how well he can stage a shot. And, I mean, this trailer is just full of absolutely beautiful scenery. You know, the period setting looks absolutely on point. Again, as you mentioned, we're back in the 17th century and you don't really get a whole lot of exactly what's going on in this film. The synopsis there is basically the only thing you can really call out of what's going on here. Looks to be an absolutely fantastic performance from both Driver and Andrew Garfield, who we both just saw in Hacksaw Ridge. Blew us away.
Oh,
in that
man,
film.
I'm praying that he gets something.
Oh, man.
One of our favorite
actors of like the current generation, I have to say.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I agree.
Not even to mention his work in the Amazing Spider-Man films, which were both very, very flawed films, but I don't think Garfield was any part of those flaws. I don't have a lot to like really pick out in terms of standout moments. I'm absolutely in love with the film already. Let's be 100% honest. I was already purchasing a ticket for this opening day. As soon as I can get into a theater to see this film, I will be in a theater to see this film. And this trailer absolutely confirmed everything I've been hoping for. And this looks like it's absolutely been shot with a great amount of passion. Scorsese, what can you really say about Scorsese? We're going to be talking about Scorsese coming up a little bit here, but Justin, it's just, what can you say about him that hasn't already been said? The dude
he's
is
one
a
of the
master
best,
of his craft.
He's one of the best filmmakers that
he
are
gonna
he's
deliver,
living on this planet.
He's going to deliver a film that, you know, I really, really hope it's got some stellar performances. I really, really hope that the script is completely on point. He co-wrote this script, actually, with Jay Cox. So we'll see exactly what happens here, but absolutely floored by this trailer. I think it's absolutely fantastic, and I just want to get your thoughts on it.
This was not a film that I was anticipating as much as you, but I was very excited because anything that's Scorsese, I'm first in line. And I'm not the minority there. Every single one of you cinephiles out there, movie buffs, even just general moviegoers, you hear that name Scorsese, it brings to mind, you know, any other film, you know, The Departed, which, hey, we'll be talking about a little bit. You know, The Wolf of Wall Street, Gangs of New York, Goodfellas, Casino. You know, you go back to Taxi Driver, Raging Bull. This guy is a legendary filmmaker, one of the best of all time. Make no mistake, of all time. And he's still alive. And he's still making movies. And we have the
movies.
We have the luxury to be able to be alive during a time when this guy, this filmmaker, is still alive. And at his age, he's still making amazing films.
Yep.
So I'm really excited about this. I mean, the premise itself, you know, actually harkens back a little bit to what we saw in Hacksaw Ridge. We're seeing characters that are very strong in a certain faith. They're very strong in their beliefs. And they're going to a place to try to locate their mentor, played by Liam Neeson. And they're going to deal with being persecuted for that. And that's something that I feel very close to. I can understand that feeling. I'm excited for it. And the one thing that I'm taking away from this, even though we only get one line of dialogue from him, is I'm really praying, Nick, that Liam Neeson gives an amazing performance. I mean, think about what he's done. I love him to death. Even though he's done a lot of hokey shit in the last 5 years or so, I'm praying that Liam Neeson being in a Martin Scorsese film will bring him back to the good graces of Hollywood. Like, hey, man, give us a good performance. We know what's in you. He's an amazing actor. He's, you know, honestly, if I had to put it on a list, he's one of my top 25, you know, of all time. I love him. He's great, you know, but overall, I thought this trailer was fantastic. I thought it was beautifully shot. I cannot wait. The only problem that I have about this film, Nick, is when am I going to get a chance to see this? There's a lot coming out around Christmas. We have Rogue One, that Passengers film with this. You know, I'm going to try to see as much as I possibly can.
You can go and see Passengers. I have absolutely no interest in that. It looks like just drivel.
And, yeah, but you know what? You know what? We have that name. It should be tattooed on each of us. You know, I'm going to go get it tattooed on me in the next couple of weeks just to do this. We are the epic film guys, so we need to see everything.
That
you know what?
Is very true.
You know what, Nick? You were complaining yesterday. You were complaining yesterday on the Facebook page about something I posted to the page. Do you remember what I posted to the page that you were complaining about?
I wasn't complaining about it. I was just making fun of it.
You need to watch it. You're going to watch
what
that,
was it,
though.
Something T-Rex, some fucking thing?
Yep, you're going to watch Tammy and the T-Rex.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I watched half of that video and I turned it off because I was like, this can't even be a real thing.
It is a real thing, which I never even knew about. But you know what? Denise Richards and Paul Walker.
Jesus
you're gonna watch
Christ.
I'm going to watch that film. You know what? I'm going to love to watch that film.
I bet you will. You will absolutely love it. So yeah, no, yep, I absolutely agree. There's so much stuff coming out in December in terms. I mean, like you said, we've got Rogue One. We've got Silence coming out. And there's just so many different little Oscar films, all these little small films going into wider release. And I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to see it. Neither one of us did, but Allied came out this past weekend.
I still plan on trying to check that out if I get an opportunity.
Affleck's
too.
New
I
film.
Did.
Yeah, Affleck's new film goes into, well, it goes into wide release in January, but it opens limited release
we
at the
have,
end of
you
this
know,
year as well.
Just taking a step back, Nick, and taking a breather here before we end out this segment here and then we jump into a quick promo break. We have a lot to look forward to. Oscar season is ramping up. There's a lot of good films we have to see. And Manchester by the Sea is getting great praise.
A lot of buzz for Casey Affleck in that film.
Yeah. Me and Loy Sauce actually skipped out on it, not by accident, but just because we wanted to make sure we could make it to La La Land, which
that's another film that I have to see.
And you have to see that. Yep. Honestly, I'm just going to say this to you guys, to our listeners out there, you haven't seen it yet because it has not hit wide release, but I did get the chance to see La La Land at the Middleburg Film Festival in October, and it is in my top five films of the year at this point.
And we've also got our friends over at the In Session Film Podcast. I actually just saw JD posted earlier, Jackie, the film with Natalie Portman in it, said it's absolutely fantastic, one of the best of the year. So
yeah,
another
and Voice Sauce actually talked about that on the George and Tony show when he was on there doing a review of the Middleburg Film Festival, and he loved Jackie as well. Yeah. I can't wait to see that. It's actually going to be playing over at the Angelica Film Center, not that far from now. So a lot of great films, man. It's a lot to look forward to, man. This is the time of the year we should be looking forward to. It's gonna
this
be
is
off.
The time of the year. This is my favorite time of the year because we're heading into award season. And as much as we talk about blockbusters, and I know we have these huge, huge special episodes where we talk endlessly about these big popcorn flicks, but Oscar season is where my heart truly lies, in small character dramas with amazing performances from the best actors that are working today. Absolutely love award season. We've got to get Emily from The Story Behind back on when we do the Oscars again this year. Sans James, so you won't get to have round two over Sylvester Stallone, but that's okay, because I think you already won the first time, so it's okay.
Of course I won. Of course. Are you telling? Come on. Of course I won.
We're going to go ahead and jump into another quick promo break, and then we're going to come back. We've just got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. A lot of different little things, a lot of changes coming to your very beloved Epic Film Guys podcast next month. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Years will give you such a crick in the neck. Hang on a second. Whoa! Wow! Does it feel good to be out of there? I tell you, nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, where are you from? What's your name?
Aladdin.
Aladdin! Hello, Aladdin. Nice to have you on the show. Can we call you Al, or maybe just Din? Or how about Lobby? Sounds like, here, boy. Come on, Lobby.
I must have hit my head harder than I thought.
Do you smoke? Mind if I do? Oh, sorry, Cheetah. I hope I didn't singe the fur. Yo, Rockman. Haven't seen you in a few millennia. Give me some tassel. Yeah, yo, yo. Say, you're a lot smaller than my last master. Either that or I'm getting bigger. Look at me from the side. Do I look different to you?
Wait a minute. I'm your master?
That's right. He can be taught. What would you wish of me?
Be ever impressive.
The one contained... But never duplicated. Genie of the lamp. Right here, direct from the lamp. Right here for your very much wish fulfillment. Thank you.
Whoa. Wish fulfillment?
3 wishes to be exact. An ixnay on the wishing for more wishes. That's it. 3.
Uno, dos, tres.
No substitutions, exchanges, or refunds.
Now I know I'm dreaming.
Master, I don't think you quite realize what you've got here. So why don't you just ruminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities? Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherazade had 1,000 tails. But Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. Some heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch to dance. Your blue and house, all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say,
Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your pleasure be?
Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your maitre d'. Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me. Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service. You're the boss, the king, the Shah. Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. Have some of column A, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me. Mama. No, no. Can your friends do this? Can your friends do that? Can your friends pull this out their little hat? Can your friends go, whoo!
Hey, looky here.
Can your friends go abracadabra, let it rip, and then make the sucker disappear? So don't you sit there like your buggy hide. I'm here to answer all your business prayers. You got me bona fide certified. You got a genie for a child's defense. To help you out, so what you wish, I really wanna know. You gotta lift steps 3 miles long, no doubt. Well, all you gotta do is rub like so. Hey-ho. Mr. Aladdin, sir, have a wish of 2 or 3. I'm on the job, you big nabob. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend. You never.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, as always, for sticking with us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. And Justin, that was our brand new featured actor for the month of December.
Brand new! That's right.
We don't know who it's going to be yet, because the poll actually does not end until 10 p.m. Wednesday. So we're not actually going to know. That's going to be like the last thing I edit into the episode before I actually upload it for the Thursday release. And right now, of course, we've got Arnold Schwarzenegger, Kate Winslet, Robin Williams, and Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, wait a minute. Say that name again. Say it again.
Patrick Swayze.
Yep. Nick's favorite actor of all time. Jesus, you can't wait. I know you're praying, Nick. I just know you're praying that he wins. I know you want to hear his voice over and over for at least a full month while you edit in his voice clips. I just know it's true.
God.
I know. Well, we might as well just do the whole film of Ghost, like cut it into parts and just do Ghost throughout every.
The entire month. But yeah, right now, Schwarzenegger and Winslet just kind of got left in the dust in this month's poll. Robin Williams is currently in the lead, so it's looking like unless Patrick Swayze rallies here, he's only 8 votes behind Robin Williams now. We actually talked about this earlier, Justin. He was 9 votes behind, picked up another one during the recording here. So he's only 8 votes behind right now, so you never know. Whatever clip you hear, that's who ended up winning our featured actor segment for the month, and we're going to be talking about that actor's films all month long in this segment. And speaking of new segments, Justin, this is a poll that we actually posted over on Twitter. We posted it over on Facebook. We're starting a brand new segment. We haven't really pinned down an exact date yet, but the brand new Epic Film Guys Spotlight.
Spotlight. That's correct. Yeah. Spotlight.
We've talked about this back and forth about doing more stuff to feature classic films, to feature films that we love, to feature great films. And this is an opportunity, number one, for a lot of fan interaction. Every time we talk about a Spotlight film, we're going to post it out there on social media for everybody else to weigh in on the film that we're watching. And I think we can go ahead and announce right now, you've already seen it on social media, but our first film in Spotlight is going to be Martin Scorsese's The Departed.
That's correct.
Yeah, cannot wait to talk about that film. Won by a landslide, and all but 3 people voted for that film. So that's going to be our first one. And listen to this lineup that we've got coming, Justin. Okay. We've got The Untouchables.
Boom.
We've got Cloud Atlas.
Boom.
We've got Donnie Darko.
Boom.
And we've got Sideways. 3 of those films, 3-way tie for 3rd place. So we're going to throw all 4 of those films into the poll for the next Spotlight. Look for that poll coming up in the future. But yep, The Departed. Probably, I don't know, Justin, not next week, but I think, but maybe we'll do that in 2 weeks. And we'll really get started on the Spotlight segment before the end of the year. Really, really looking forward to that. Just, again, to be able to talk about a lot of films that we love. Just gives us more of an opportunity to talk about the thing that we love the most, and that is going to the movies. Absolutely love it. You know how many people I've got buying me AMC gift cards for Christmas?
I already got one for my birthday, man. I got one for my birthday. Man. I'm excited. I'm just debating on what to use it for.
I'm going to be swimming in a sea of AMC gift cards by the end of the holidays, and I can't wait because I'm going to have like hundreds of dollars, and it's going to fuel my Oscar season and early into the spring and hopefully into blockbuster season as I use all these gift cards. I absolutely cannot wait. So very, very excited for Spotlight. Can't wait to get into that. But Justin, we also have to talk about challenges. We talked about it early last month that we were actually going to be ditching the Never Seen It November challenge. We were planning on doing it, but unfortunately, my schedule just got really, really crazy. So we still had 2 super fans of this show, Jared Taylor and Scott LaVar, both completed the Never Seen It November challenge.
Huge props.
And then some. They finished more than 10 films each for the month. So we're not going to list them all off here or anything like that, but I just want to let those guys know we absolutely appreciate all the support that you continue to give to the Epic Film Guys podcast. We absolutely love you guys, and thank you for participating in the challenge.
And we're also a huge thanks to them, Nick, because I believe both of them, correct me if I'm wrong, took advantage of that Black Friday sale with that vintage Epic Film Guys logo t-shirt. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We put that up there as a surprise. Ooh. Only 2 people paid any close attention to that. But it's cool. People have been asking for a while for the classic Epic Film Guys logo, the original logo.
Yeah, you the know, original it's only ones like, that we got made by Upstate Merch.
That's right. So they were asking for those shirts because only Nick and I up until this point had those shirts with the original logo. So that was a surprise to you guys. And you know what? Our hardcore fans spoke and they got that shirt. So
excellent.
Major props to those guys for grabbing that.
So please, yeah, once you get those shirts, slap them on and send us a picture of you sporting your new Epic Film Guys swag. I know good old Patrick Sherwood, the Hobster's best friend, was pestering us on social media earlier about getting those Epic Film Guys pint glasses. We are still working on that. I promise they're going to come eventually. But I think Justin and I actually talked before the show about maybe not even offering them for sale, but just having them as prizes to give away every single month for whatever random crazy shit we do. Hey, maybe you just have to guess which dumpster the Hobster's sleeping in that week and you get a free fucking pint glass. I don't know what's going to happen.
I really have no clue. I'm just kind of worried to see what's going to happen. But you know what? It is what it is. This is the Epic Film Guys podcast. Anything can happen.
It is. Absolutely is. But I want to take a few minutes here, Justin, and this is something that's going to be happening the entire month of December. And Potter and Family, which is something that we have plugged endlessly for the past year. I'm actually a member of the board or the council or whatever you want to call it behind the scenes, kind of helping to kind of point Potter and Family in the right direction. And the cult, yep. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Yeah. The Kool-Aid is delicious. It's a fruit punch flavored. But, you know, I've been working with a lot of other great, great podcasters like Shane from Now That I'm Older, Emily from The Story Behind, so many other amazing podcasters that are part of this thing to drive this thing forward. This is whole huge community, this whole huge collective, and we're doing an anniversary for Potter and Family. It's been a year, Justin, and I wanted to just take a few minutes here during the show to talk about what Potter and Family's meant to the Epic Film Guys podcast and why we're happy to have our show be part of this amazing, amazing community. What do you think?
I think it's amazing. I'm really, really excited. I'm happy about it. I've been happy about it the whole time. It's been a blessing to us, I really think. It's been great.
Yeah, we were actually looking at our download statistics during the break there, and we looked at the download statistics pre-Potter and Family, and this is like November of last year, and we had, especially compared to what we have now, we had practically nothing, you know, and then all of a sudden in December, that first month that Potter and Family really, oh God.
All of a sudden.
I'm trying
all
to
of
do,
a sudden.
No, I'm trying to do this whole thing here, and you got to come in here and interrupt me with your drunken bullshit.
Nah, all of a sudden, I took a piss on some guy sleeping on a bench that had a Pekingese dog in a bag.
A Pekingese
he was laying
dog?
It. Yeah, he must have went to a very expensive grocery store. He had looked like some organic foods in that bag. But the dog was also in the bag. I didn't notice. I just got drinking some PBR, and I also got someone to get me a whole bottle, a full bottle of Mr. Boston, unlike you jackasses who won't even get me a small little bottle. And I pissed all over the dog, and the dog was barking and yipping. It was going, yip, yip. I don't even know. All I know is that I'm asking you, what is this Pot and Family done for me? I ain't making any money off this whole thing. What's the whole, I don't know what the big deal
is. Well, the whole point isn't for you to make money. It has meant exposure exponentially for this show. We've gained hundreds of fans, hundreds of listeners, thousands of listeners even, thousands of downloads anyway, from the members of Pot and Family, other podcasters who rally around us and who we rally around to help support one another and to help one another grow. It gives us all a bigger voice, a bigger presence out there in the world. And it's not about you getting fucking loaded. Everything is not about you getting wasted and eating double cheese.
Well, how am I going to live without getting wasted and eating double cheese? Is there any other alternative to life other than eating McDonald's and getting drunk every day off, you know, whatever I find? If the dog pissed in my can of beer and there was half a beer left in it, you damn well know I'd drink that beer with the dog piss. I don't give a shit. Hey, whatever. I don't give a shit. If this Potter and Family thing is doing good for you, I guess it's doing good for me to some partial
I don't even know how to speak English that well. As long as you guys are doing well, I guess that means they know about me, and maybe someday you'll run into me on the street and I'll get drunk for free.
That's true. I mean, think of how many fans you must have out there because of the growth of this show from Potter and Family. I mean, you have to understand how many people out there absolutely love the Hopester, not just Patrick Sherwood, who we know is by far your biggest fan, but we have people talking to us all the time over on Twitter and on Facebook. I actually have a tweet that goes up with a picture of a bottle of Mr. Boston and offering people to buy it for you. And people retweet that thing all the time, people that are in the Potter family. So see, people do care about getting you that Mr. Boston after all.
I hope so. Well, I hope all those tits, or whatever you call them, those teats, I don't even know what that is, or get me enough bottles per day to get me enough loaded up where I can walk around the streets and find a place to piss on. I've been taking shits next to this one McDonald's that's a little sketchy. Even I'm scared to go near it.
Yeah, please, whatever you can, avoid the sketchy McDonald's. But yeah, we just want to take the opportunity here at the Epic Film Guys, not only for myself and for Justin, but also for the Hopester and all the double cheese you can possibly buy him. Thank you very, very much to Potter Family for just being this amazing, amazing community. We have met and networked with so many amazing shows. We've got so many more great crossover opportunities, so many more guest opportunities that are going to be coming up probably next year. We've got a lot of stuff coming up at the end of the year here, but it's just been amazing to be part of this community. And I don't think the Epic Film Guys podcast would be where it is today without Potter and Family and without all those people that are part of Potter and Family that support us. So from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of Justin's heart and from the bottom of the little small heart-shaped dumpster in his chest in the Hopester, thank you very, very much for everything you do.
Yeah, I mean, he could be definitely be very much considered the Grinch of the Epic Film Guys podcast. I feel like whenever you watch The Grinch and you see how they explain how small the Grinch's heart is, and they do that little measurement.
That's how small the Hopester's dick is?
No. His heart's even smaller than that. Well, I don't know. Jeez. Hey, man. I heard the Hopester had like a 12-foot long dick that like hung all over and he had to like tangle it and wrap it around it like a belt and I don't know, drag it around wherever he went. But
he's got it like coiled all the way around his leg and it sticks out the bottom of his pant leg.
The problem is it's like infested, you know, bugs on his nugs, man. So no one will go near him. But
oh, bugs on his nugs. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to do it for us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast for this. Bugs on his nugs. Jesus Christ.
Hey, man, I'm just being realistic. I feel like I've seen him walk in my place before, and there were like a couple of giant cockroaches, as he would call them, you know, coming out of his pants. As he walked in, I'm like, no, dude, you can't come in here. This is a clean place. You got to get out of here.
That's all right. I heard cockroaches don't eat like organic food like you guys have down there in Herndon at your apartment, so I don't think you have to worry about it. They probably just peace out and head across the hall to whoever lives across the hall from you and get some fucking stir fry or something. I don't even know. I don't know. But yeah, that is going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, for us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. We got to take the opportunity, of course, to thank our amazing sponsors. And Justin, it's been forever, I feel like, since we've had the opportunity to mention a new name among the sponsors for the Epic Film Guys podcast. We're going to stick that smattering of applause in here because never before has that smattering been more earned. Mr. Scott LaVar, huge, huge super fan of the show. Of course, you've heard us say his name a dozen times over and over. He is such a huge, huge supporter of this show and now a sponsor of this show as well. So thank you very, very much, Scott, for helping to pay the Epic Film Guys podcast to be bigger and better every single time. And that's what we aim for every single time, is to make bigger and better things. We've got so many more great things coming down the pike that we didn't even get a chance to talk about tonight. Justin and I have been talking a lot about amazing, amazing content that we're going to be bringing to you guys every single week. So I want you to stay tuned for that. Thank you very, very much, Scott, for your sponsorship of the Epic Film Guys podcast.
Thank you so much.
of course, have to thank Caleb and Dan of the Netflix and Swill podcast. You guys are amazing. You continue to kick ass. Thank you very much. Super fan of the show, Mr. Jared Taylor. I don't know what we would do without Jared. I swear, it would feel like that'd be like half of our interaction total would disappear if he ever just stopped listening to our show. It'd be weird.
What would we do without you, Taylor? What would we do without you, Jared? I have no idea.
I don't even know. It's one of those things I don't even want to try to think of. And of course, we talk about him all the time. Our resident kaiju expert. We love you, love you, love you to death, Robert. Absolutely one of our most wonderful contributors. Thank you very, very much for everything you do. And of course, we can't go on without mentioning Emily of The Story Behind, who has been such a fantastic supporter of this podcast. And speaking of Potter and Family just a little bit ago, one of the reasons that we first got into this was because of Emily. She was one of the people that really, let's just say, Potter and Family would not be what Potter and Family is without Emily, because she was the one that created everything when it started. So who knows, without her, probably a whole would have fallen to shit by now. But thank you guys all very, very much for supporting this show. And thank you very, very much, everybody, for listening. If this is your first Epic Film Guys podcast, we probably talk more about film stuff most of the time than we did tonight, Justin. We just had a lot of housekeeping to do after that Batman commentary last week, which, once again, Justin, so much fun.
So much fun. It was so much fun. And hey, you never know what's going to happen on the Epic Film Guys podcast. We might get other Bat commentaries headed your way. You never know what's going to happen.
Batman and Robin.
I'd love it. I would honestly, it would probably do it in a heartbeat. That would break the camel's back, I'm telling you right now. That would be like the one that gets us like a billion followers in 2 seconds, because there's so many people out there that just absolutely love and adore Joel Schumacher's Batman and Robin, the best comic book film ever made above any other comic book film. I mean,
it's such a great movie. And I post this tweet all the time about the Batman retrospective we did for the Burton and Schumacher films, and my tweet says we rated Batman and Robin 10 out of 10, and you know, asks people what they rated, and every time that tweet posts up I get at least one or two responses. It's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? But they have to actually listen to the episode to hear the context of our 10 out of 10 rating, and then stay tuned after the credits for a little something else. But that's all.
Well, you know, it's awesome. As I'm closing up this end of the show here, I have to thank one of my good friends and semi-listener, Jeremy Todd Moorhead, the director of such films as
Werewolf Santa.
I won't say any other films.
Damn. Wow.
Scorehammer and Easter Sunday. He put on my page, I think he photoshopped my head on George Clooney's Batman's body next to Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl, and I just loved it. It was so amazing. Thank you, Jeremy. If you're listening, I don't know if you are, but thank you anyway.
I need to go over to your Facebook page and try to find that now, because I somehow did not see that, even though probably in terms of interactions on Facebook,
it was awesome.
I interact with
you
people more than I interact with you. So it's kind of weird that I did not see that, but yeah, thank you very, very much, everybody that listens to the podcast, that supports this podcast, and you're going to notice a little something different about this episode, and we hope you like what you hear, and we're going to continue to drive forward to not only improve our sound quality, to not only improve our content, but to keep that goddamn Hobster trapped in a fucking dumpster so he doesn't keep interrupting our shows, crying about all of his PBR and double cheese. God. How does he even get his way in here? Every time. Every goddamn time, except for that one week where he was MIA.
I don't know. You know,
there's
a lot of questions.
He didn't show up during the Batman commentary either, though, so I guess that was good.
There's a lot of questions when it comes to the Hobster. But you know what? Until
that question
comes...
Are you saying there's too many questions? There's just too many questions.
Too many questions. Too many questions.
I'll show you it works.
Hey, man. We could definitely do a commentary.
Oh, I would
on
totally
film.
Do a Batman Forever commentary, 100%. I'd do a commentary of any of the Burton or Schumacher films any day. Hands down, hands down. We're droning on about our Batman love, because that's just what we love to do here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. So for myself and for Epic Film Guy Justin, thank you all very, very much for listening. And
we'll see you at the movies.